During his time as a rancher, before he became president, Theodore Roosevelt and one of his cowpunchers lassoed a maverick steer. They lit a fire and prepared to brand this steer with the branding irons. The part of the range where they lassoed this steer was claimed by Gregor Lang, one of Roosevelt's neighbors. And as his cowboy applied the brand, Roosevelt said, "Wait, it should be Lang's brand," because the cowboy agreement at the time was that whichever land the steer was caught on, that's who the steer belonged to. Not who caught it, but whose land it was caught on. And the cowhand said, "That's all right, boss, don't worry about it." And Roosevelt said, "But you're putting my brand on. It should be Lang's." The cowhand once again said, "That's right, don't worry about it. Nobody will ever know." "Drop that iron," Roosevelt demanded. "Go back to the ranch, get your things, and leave. Because if you will steal for me, you will steal from me." Does the Bible say anything about how a Christian should do business? Does God's word say anything about our integrity as Christian businessmen, Christian businesswomen? In Proverbs chapter 11, Solomon shares with us some wise business practices, and that's what I would like to look at this morning. What are some wise business practices that Solomon gives us in Proverbs chapter 11, verses 1 through 10? We're continuing our series through the book of Proverbs. Again, we're not going chapter by chapter, but we are highlighting some of the principles that we learn in the book of Proverbs. So if you could please open your Bibles, and if you could stand with me and follow along in your Bible as we read Proverbs chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Proverbs 11, verses 1 through 10 says, "Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the prosperity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from wrath. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver him, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through the knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is jubilation." Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we study your word, we just ask you to help us see what it is that you would have us to learn and to apply to our lives from it. Thank you for this passage, and I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be speaking through me, Lord, that it would not be my words, but your words coming out of my lips, and that your Holy Spirit would also be working in the heart of each individual present this morning and those that may be listening through Facebook. Lord, that you would touch our hearts, that you would guide us, that you would direct us, and that you would help us to apply these principles to our lives. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this passage in Proverbs chapter 11, the first thing that we see in this passage is that Solomon tells us honesty is always the best policy. Honesty is always the best policy. And we see that in the first four verses. So let's go back and read those first four verses. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Verse 1 tells us that God hates dishonesty. He hates dishonesty and actually uses a very strong term here. It is an abomination to the Lord, an abomination. That's a very strong term. What is it about verse 1? What is it about dishonest scales that God hates? Why does God hate dishonest scales? Merchants used scales with counterbalances back then. There were no digital scales back in biblical times. And so the merchant had a scale, and the scale worked with counterbalances. But what often happened was the merchant, who was not honest, would have counterbalances that weighed less than what they were marked. So a 5-pound balance may weigh 4.5 pounds. And so when you're buying 5 pounds worth of produce, you're actually only getting 4.5 pounds. So what God is saying here is he hates. And I know hate is a strong word. And as children, we're told not to use the word hate, right? But God hates dishonest business. He is speaking of business here. He is speaking of merchants. He is speaking of individuals that sell produce, that sell grain, that sell different things that are weighed. And it says that dishonest scales, dishonest business practices are an abomination to God. The consumer simply had to trust that the scales of the merchant were accurate because they had no way of knowing whether what the weight was showing on the scale was correct or not. Again, this was a common practice at the time. And these dishonest scales were used regularly to rip people off. This, unfortunately, happens commonly at gas stations in the Dominican Republic because they're not as closely regulated as here. So you go to a gas station and you pump a gallon of gasoline. You don't know whether you got the full gallon or not. You simply have to trust that the owner of that gas station is honest. And sometimes you don't know if any of them are. And this is what God is talking about here, being dishonest in business, being dishonest in our business practices. It's obvious here that Solomon is addressing the issue of business integrity. See, God isn't just concerned about our integrity in our private lives, in our personal matters, he is also concerned about our integrity in our business practices, in our business lives. A child of God is not exempt from God's moral standards when it comes to business. And sadly, there are many Christian business people that believe that there are two different standards, or three different standards: the standard at church, the standard at home, and then there's the standard when I'm at work. And God says there isn't another standard. Unfortunately, many Christian business owners have lived a double standard and have justified deceptive business practices for years. A wise Christian An honest Christian, a Christian of integrity, will manage their business affairs with the same integrity as they do their personal affairs, as they understand that God wants them to manage all of their affairs in life. Here Solomon states that God hates this practice, that it is an abomination to him. This is the type of deceit that should never be found in the body of Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, it says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Do not lie to one another. Do not lie to your brother. Do not lie to your sister. Do not lie to your customers. Don't be deceitful. Be a person of integrity. Be a person of your word. Our business principles, as well as our personal lives, should always reflect the image of God. Now, I'll be honest with you, this sermon really hits home to me. It hits home to me because this topic is the reason that we had to leave the Dominican Republic. Now, most of you probably are not aware, but while we were missionaries in the Dominican Republic, I was bivocational. Only a part of our income came through missionary support. The majority of our income came through a business. I actually represented a U.S. company in the Dominican Republic, actually in the Caribbean. I had customers in Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic. And the business was going well. Sales had tripled in the 5 years that I was in that territory in the Caribbean. And we had gotten to the point where we were dedicating most of our missionary support directly to the ministry, and we were living primarily off of my sales. But the company changed management. And my new boss was insisting that I do some things that I felt would be a violation of some of the promises and commitments that I had made to my customers. And I could not go along with that. And so I had the choice. Either I do what the new owners of the company want me to do, which would be breaking my word to my customers, or I resign and therefore have no choice but to leave the Dominican Republic because we did not have the income to be able to stay there. And so that's the choice that we made. Now, hindsight, I believe God used that situation to bring us where he wanted us to be. I wouldn't be the director of the Way of Truth Baptist Mission right now had that not happened. I wouldn't be the pastor of this congregation right now if that had not happened. And God has also shown us that the ministry in the Dominican Republic continues and is probably better off in the long run without us being present, because the Dominicans have stepped up to fulfill the ministry on their own, which is what God wanted in the long term. But I faced this situation. And you might be facing a similar situation. You may have faced a similar situation in your past. Maybe you'll face this situation in the future. What is more important? My integrity as a Christian business person, or keeping my job? See, because Solomon tells us that lies and deceit will come back to haunt us. When we do not have integrity as Christian businessmen and businesswomen, it will come back to haunt us. We will eventually pay a price. Let's look at verses 2 and 3 and also 5 and 6. 2 and 3 says, "When pride comes, then comes shame. but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Verses 5 and 6. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught up in their lust. God has a way of humbling us when we become proud. When we have that proud, arrogant attitude that I know this is what God says. I know God says that I must have integrity in my business practices. I know God says that I should not lie to my customers. I should not be deceitful in the things that I do. But I've got to do what I've got to do to stay in business. I've got to do what I've got to do to be competitive. Whatever it may be, and we become prideful and say, God, I can do it my way. I know your word says one thing, but I can do it my way. Dishonest businessmen are often proud of their dishonest accomplishment. They're often proud of their shrewdness and how they were able to get away with cheating others. It isn't just the unbelievers that do this. There are many Christian businessmen that do the same. And they're proud of it. Look what I have built. Look what I have. Look what I have accomplished. But in the meantime, in building what they have accomplished, they have not followed God's principles. They may be able to get away with it for a while, but Solomon says that the pride will lead to shame. How many business people have been publicly shamed and come to ruin because of their deceitful practices? How many have been charged with embezzlement and publicly humiliated or audited in their taxes and the fraud has been made public? Deceitful practices may bring temporary pleasure, but the ill-gotten gain will leave us empty and broken. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17 says, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. Have you ever tried chewing on gravel? I've chewed on things that felt like gravel before, but I've never chewed on gravel. But here Solomon in Proverbs chapter 20 says that bread gained by deceit, it may taste good at first, but eventually it will turn to something that is not very appetizing. That good taste is not going to last in your mouth. Don't buy into Satan's lie that you need to adapt the world's deceitful business practices in order to succeed. Or you will find out that the world's success is not all that it's made out to be. I'm not saying that all of the following individuals who I'm going to be quoting in the next minute gained their wealth through dishonesty. But here are some quotes from some of the wealthiest individuals in the history of our nation, probably our world. Here are some quotes later in life that they made about their own wealth. I have made many millions, but they have brought me no happiness. John W. Rockefeller. The care of 200 million is enough to kill anyone. There is no pleasure in it. W. H. Vanderbilt. I am the most miserable man on earth. John Jacob Astor. I was happier when doing a mechanic's job. Henry Ford. And millionaires seldom smile. Andrew Carnegie. These men had it all. These men built tremendous empires. Some of the greatest businesses and industries in the world. But that sweet bread eventually turned to gravel in their mouth. The pleasure was no longer there. Yes, they had the notoriety. Yes, they had the fame. Yes, they had the money. Yes, they had the business success. But inside, they were empty. If you dedicate your life to the pursuit of dishonest gain, in the end, you will find that it is an empty pursuit. The very things that you sought after, the very things that you idolized, the very things that you wanted to achieve will become your undoing. Verses 4 and 7, it tells us that dishonest gain has no eternal value. Verses 4 and 7. Let's read those. Verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. And 7, when a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. When the day of judgment comes, all the wealth in the world will be useless. It will count for nothing. Everything you devoted your entire life to, everything that you devoted all of your strength, all of your time, all of your energy and building here on earth will be gone. Completely gone. And this is why God tells us not to build up treasures here on this earth, but to build them where? In heaven. To build our treasures up in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Have you ever had something valuable to you rust? Have you ever had something valuable to you stolen? Yeah. If it was treasure built up in heaven, it wouldn't have rusted. It could not have been stolen. See, doing business with integrity pays off in the end. That's what Solomon tells us in verses 8 through 10. Follow with me as I read those verses. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perishes, there is jubilation. Righteous business practices will guard us, according to verse 8. Verse 8 says, the righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. God promises to bless us, or to bless those who have clean hands and a pure heart and are honest in their business dealings. We see that in Psalm chapter 24, verses 4 through 5. Sorry about that. There we go. Psalm 24, verses 4 through 5 says, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol or sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." It's interesting that these two verses in Psalm chapter 24 also include those who have not lifted up their soul to an idol. Now, I don't think there are any of you here this morning that got up this morning and knelt down in front of a little wooden doll and prayed to an idol and worshiped an idol. I don't think any of you have done that, but you know what? Money is also an idol that Scripture talks about. And I believe the connection here to godly business practices or deceitful business practices, to be more clear, the connection is anybody who is willing to cheat and deceive for wrongful gain has made money an idol. If as a Christian, I am willing to lie and I am willing to cheat and I am willing to deceive my customer for financial gain, then that financial gain has already become more important and a higher priority in my life than God and His Word. Because I have chosen to put aside what God says and do what I want for financial gain. And so what we see here in Psalm chapter 24, that when we as Christian businessmen, Christian businesswomen, when we allow ourselves to become deceptive in our business practices for the sake of money, we have allowed money to become an idol in our lives. There are also some practical applications to the promise that the righteous will be delivered from trouble. Here, David in Psalm says that when we do not have idols, when we don't put the idol of money before God, and when we have biblical principles in the way that we do our business, when we're not deceitful, when we don't cheat people, when we don't lie to people, when we have clean hands, when we have a clean heart in the way that we do business, that we will receive God's blessing. And there are some practical ways that I believe that we see that blessing from God protecting us in our business practices. If you're honest in your business dealings, you don't have to worry about being caught. If you're honest on your taxes, you don't need to fear an audit, do you? Now, the process of going through an audit would still be painful, but at least you know in the end, they will not find anything to condemn you on. See, when we do things God's way, when we do business honestly, when we do business with integrity, we don't need to fear the repercussions. So it protects us, it guards us. There is a sense of peace that comes with doing things God's way, with doing business with integrity. And in verses 9 through 10, we see that how we conduct business will define us. How we conduct business will define us. Let's read verses 9 and 10 again. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through the knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perishes, there is jubilation. Like it or not, people are watching how you do business. People are watching how you treat others. They are watching whether or not you have integrity. And if we claim to be a child of God, if we claim to be a Christian, but our lives do not reflect that, people notice, people observe. Honestly, people don't like hypocrites. And we didn't need Solomon to tell us that because we know that. We don't like hypocrites, do we? And you know what the greatest excuse, that I have heard from people, unchurched people, that don't want to go to church give as to why they don't want to go to church? Because churches are full of hypocrites, and I don't like hypocrites. See, sadly, there are a lot of Christians in the world who are doing business without integrity, and people are watching. People are observing. People are taking it in. And they don't like hypocrites. And you know what? People actually enjoy seeing a hypocrite exposed. You know that? Verse 10 says that when the wicked perish, the city rejoices. It says, when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there is jubilation. There is a certain sense of justice that people have when a person who is a hypocrite or a cheater or a liar is exposed. If any of you follow social media, not too long ago, there was just a situation that happened that was everywhere. Comedians were making fun of the situation. There were all kind. Businesses were using it. Baseball teams were, the Philadelphia Phillies, I think, were one of them that were using it kind of as a publicity stunt. What was the situation? A CEO was at a Coldplay concert with one of his employees, both of them married to somebody else. And they were caught on the kissing cam together. And this just went like wildfire through the internet. And you know what? People enjoyed it. People were laughing. People were celebrating. People thought it was hilarious. Why? Because what Solomon says here is true. It's true. When the wicked perish, there is jubilation. And it's sad because often we don't think about those who were affected, the ones who were cheated on. The husband and the wife who suffered. But let this be an example to you that when a cheater, when a liar, when somebody who does not have integrity is exposed, people gain pleasure from it. And that's what Solomon is telling us here. About those who do wicked things, those who are deceitful in their business practices, those who do not have integrity in their business. There is a sense of justice in us that likes to see wicked people get what they deserve. It's in all of us. I'm not saying that this is a godly sense of justice, but it's a reality. It's a natural human response to enjoy seeing a wicked person get what they deserve. As a child of God, how do you want to be defined? Do you want to be defined as a hypocrite who calls himself a Christian yet is deceitful in his business practices? Or as a child of God whose good works glorify their heavenly Father? Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let your light so shine as a businessman, as a business person, as a businesswoman in your community that when people do business with you, they will glorify your God. Your God will be glorified. His name will be lifted up. And they may say, you know what? There's something about you. What is it about you that makes you different? What an opportunity to share the gospel with them. In contrast, a person who has Bible verses in their office and has, you know, the ichthus and has all of the Christian stuff in their office, and they're deceiving people, and the person, the customer, is going, I don't ever want to go to this person's church. I don't want that if that's what Christianity's about. We have two options. You can be the hypocrite that turns people away from Christ, or you can be a person of integrity that shines a light that brings glory to the Father. As a child of God, there should be no distinction between the way we live our personal lives and how we operate a business. Honesty should always be our policy, and integrity will always pay off. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this challenge. I think we all need it. We all need this reminder. I need this reminder. Because we don't have to be a business owner to apply these principles. All of us in one way or another are interacting with others in a business capacity. To some way or another, we're either exchanging services or goods or some type of exchange in the marketplace, in the world that we live in. And Lord, how are our actions as a believer in the business world, how are they defined? How are we defined? How do people see us? As a hypocrite or as a light? Are we drawing people to you by the way that we do business? Or are we pushing people away and giving them an excuse of saying, I don't want to be like that hypocrite? Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to apply these truths to our lives. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.